لله تعالى نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، أشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صفيه وحبيبه، بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة وكشف الله به الغمة وجاهد في سبيل الله حق جهاده حتى أتاه اليقين. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن سن بسنته لهم الدين. أما بعد، my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Ask Allah تبارك وتعالى to accept our meeting, guide us for knowledge, the truth from the book of Allah تبارك وتعالى and sunnah النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Ask Allah تبارك وتعالى to make the last word to come out from our mouths before we meet Allah تبارك وتعالى, لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله. My dear brothers and sisters, again we are appointed to continue our class with tafsir surah an-nisa, especially ilm al-fara'id, the knowledge of fara'id. Fara'id mean, it's mean the law of the inheritance, which is very important for all of us. And as we opened discussion last week about children in general, they're going to receive inheritance from their parents. If their parents left any property or assets after they die, and this is will be extended also to the grandchildren. If the father, the child, is that one of the son, he passed away in the life of his father and he left the children, his portion will be transferred automatically to his children. The son will take twice than the female, according to the ayah number 11, يوصيكم الله في أولادكم للذكر مثل حظ الأنثيين. Allah command you, due to your children, if you leave any property or assets or any wealth, you have to give it. Male will take twice than the female. We know all of us this rule. And we opened this discussion also last week that there is a certain children, they are not allowed to get inheritance. We spoke and we covered the area of the children of all the prophet and messengers will be excluded. Zero. They cannot take any Nabi, any messenger, left any property or assets, his children cannot take it. But they will take it from the sadaqah, from the charity, from Bayt al-Mal, that house of treasury for the Muslim. We cover this area. And also we cover the area of al-kafiru layaris, al-mushrik wal-kafir, and the rejectors, al-murtad, the one who accepted the Islam originally and then he rejected. He had all these three examples or three peoples, they have no portion at all of any kind of inheritance. And last week we stopped with the rejectors. We say the kafir and mushrik, zero. They cannot take anything. If their parents are Muslim and they left any property, they are not allowed. For example, a father and mother, they have like a couple of children. One of them, he's still Christian. He doesn't want to be Muslim. He will be excluded. Or anyone rejected the Islam, he will be excluded from the inheritance which he will receive it. He may receive it from his father after he died. And we spoke about al-murtad. One of the Muslim, he became Muslim, he practiced the Islam. After a while, he rejected the Islam. He said, I don't like this deen. I don't like this religion. This religion is very tough. Cannot enjoy my girlfriend. Cannot drink. Cannot do anything. So he rejected the Islam. So also, there is a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ and in general hadith, al-kafir la yarith muslima. والمسلم لا يرث كافرا. الكافر cannot get inheritance from a Muslim, and also the same way the Muslim cannot get inheritance from the Kafir. And we give you a lot of example. If his parents are Christian and Jew, or his parents are Mushrik like Hindus or Anim, and Allah guide him for Islam, and they left the property and assets, does he has right to get some? No, zero. Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, he has his own fatwa when he said, we need to look, did he gain any money or any assets before he rejected Islam while he was a Muslim? He made two different cases. He said, let we see if anybody rejected Islam, you may find today a Muslim married a Christian and he has a children and his mother, she's Christian. And after he grew up and he said, he used to be a Muslim, go to his father to the mosque. But when he grew up and his father divorced his mother, what did he do? He go and I say, I'm going to be with my mother, and he will reject the Islam after he born originally as a Muslim. So what we do with this case? Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, he said in his fatwa, according to the sect of the Hanafi school, he said, we have to look to make differences between two cases. The first case, let we see, did he gain this money while he was a Muslim and later he rejected Islam? What we should do with this case? So the first opinion is said, if he got, his father is a Muslim, left property and assets, and he was a Muslim, and he gained from his father his portion and all his brother and sister, but later on he rejected the Islam after he got the portion while he was a Muslim, but later on he became a rejector, murtad, what we should do? Can we leave this money for him? The answer is no. According to Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, he said, we should take it from him and we give it to the other brother and sister, those who are still Muslim. So his portion should be returned back to his brother and sister, those who are Muslim. The male will take it twice than the female. طيب. And if he said, Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, if he gained some property or portion after he rejected Islam, for example, his brother and sister doesn't know about this law of the inheritance. So what they did, he rejected Islam, but they said, let's we save some for our brother, because that's the brother, but he became murtad. He rejected Islam. And he rejected Islam after, and he gained some property or abortion from his parents or in relative after he became a rejector. It means he was kafir after he became kafir. So what Abu Hanifa said? He said, we should take it from him and to give it to Baytul Mal. What is Baytul Mal? Is the house of treasury which belongs to all Muslims. Imam Malik rahimahullah has in general fatwa, said that the rejectors of Islam, if he rejected Islam, we take it and we give it to his brother and sister all the time if he rejected Islam. But anyway, the conclusion is, Al-Murtad is a kafir, right or not? Al-Murtad is what? Kafir. Murtad mean he rejected Islam. That's mean Murtad. It's mean he's a kafir. The three imams, Al-Imam Al-Shafi'i, Al-Imam Abu Hanifa, Al-Imam Ahmad, he said he has no portion at all. He has no portion. And Imam Malik finally also, he approved that Al-Murtad, he doesn't have any portion from the inheritance. That's what we spoke last week. Today we're going to speak today about Al-Qatil. Somebody, he knows that his father, he has a property and assets, and he always is fighting with his father. And he knows his father is rich, or his grandfather, or somebody else who is allowed to take a portion from them. So what did he do? He went and he killed him, or to killed his grandmother, to get, or to rush to get the inheritance from her. So what we should do with this case?
قال صلى الله عليه وسلم من القاتل لأبيه لا يرث. The one who killed his father or killed any relative to get the inheritance from them, he cannot take any inheritance. But to be honest with you, we need to make a division between al-qatl. Today, we're going to concentrate in killing. Somebody kill in order to get abortion from the inheritance. Before we do that, we need to divide the case to four cases. قاتل عمدا. Somebody killed somebody purposely. Like the police in the streets in the Muslim country today, he found a Muslim in front of him, he shoot it. Shoot the Muslim roughly. He doesn't care if they die or not die. So they killed them what? Purposely or error by error? If this is error or purposely? Purposely. So what they do? Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala prepare a painful torment for them. قال تعالى في كتاب الكريم بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ومن يقتل مؤمنا متعمدا فجزاؤه جهنم خالدا فيها وغضب الله عليه ومن يقتل مؤمنا متعمدا فجزاؤه جهنم خالدا فيها وغضب الله عليه نمبر 2 نمبر 3 ولعنه نمبر 4 وأعد له عذابا عظيما. Whoever kill any Muslim purposely without any just cause, what is his penalty? جزاؤه جهنم خالدا فيها. He will enter جهنم نعوذ بالله in eternal life. So who gonna stay eternal life in the hellfire? Who is going to be there? The kafir. So who will be? He will never come out from the hellfire. Is that enough? Look what Allah said. Allah is continue saying in the ayah, وَغَضِبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ and he deserved the wrath of Allah. نَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ غَضَبِ اللَّهِ. And number 3, وَلَعَنَ, and Allah curse him. And whoever Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala curse him, that's meaning out completely of the mercy of Allah. Even if he perform hajj, even if he make all the salah, even if he fast Ramadan, even if he pay zakah, even if he do his duty. But if Allah choose anyone and curse him, the case is finished. Walla'uzu billah, because all of us, we survive and we live under the mercy of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And Allah said in the end, وَعَدَّ لَهُ عَذَابًا عَظِيمًا. And Allah prepared for him what? A painful torment in hellfire. نَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ. So anyone will kill anyone purposely, he will enter جهنم وَلْيَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ, and he has no portion to inherit. He doesn't. He's not going to inherit anything. And we're going to give you some story today to tell you the dalil, because you may find some people, they went to secretly and kill his father or his uncle, and what happened after that? He cried, my father passed away, and he's the one, he killed him. And he, in order to what? Waiting for what? To receive a portion or inheritance from his parent, grandmother, grandfather, or whoever. Right. سيدنا عبيد السلماني, عبيد السلماني from كبار التابعين, from the great scholar from التابعين. Some of the people in the hadith, they call him companion. So we find sometimes people who narrate hadith from him, he said رضي الله عنه سيدنا عبيد السلماني. Because they consider him one of the Sahaba. In a matter of fact, he is not from the Sahaba. He is from At-Tabi'een. And we need a Sheikh Sa'id to find out what is the difference between the companions, Sahaba, and the Tabi'i, the second generation after the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. What is the difference between both of them? When you can call somebody, he's from Sahaba, companion of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And when you consider him
one of the tabi'een, he saw the rejected. Listen, for this three, in a way to make it easy for you, three conditions in order to call this person, male or female, is the companions. Number one, أن يكون قد بلغ. He has to be adult, male or female, in order to call him Sahaba. So he has, number one, to be what? To be what? Adult. It's mean to reach the age. Number two, to believe the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he converted to Islam, in order to call him Sahaba. Abu Jahl was there. Abu Jahl was in the time of the Prophet and he was adult. Can we call him Sahaba? No. Why? Because he rejected what? The Islam. Number three, has to see the Prophet, has to live with the Prophet, to hear to the Prophet, to speak with the Prophet, in order to call him is the companions. So what about Ubayd al-Salmani here? Number one, he was adult. That is the condition number one. Number two, what did he do? He converted to Islam before the Prophet. He passed away 2 years before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam died. He became a Muslim. And number three, he never sees the Prophet. Why? He was in another town. 2 years he became a Muslim, but he never sees the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's why we call him what? He's from the Sahaba or from At-Tabi'in? Tabi'in. You got it, inshallah ta'ala? That's how you call. What is the difference between Sahabi, it's mean companion of the Prophet, or Tabi'i? So, in this story, to show you that the murder or the killer doesn't have any portion or all from any relative if he killed him, let's we see the hadith which has been narrated by Ubayd al-Salmani. Sayyidina Muhammad ibn Abi Sirin, the great scholar from At-Tabi'in, narrates. He said, from Ubayd al-Salmani, Tabi'i like him, and he was in the time of the Prophet ﷺ, but he never see him, from Ali ibn Abi Talib. So the one who narrated this hadith is Ali ibn Abi Talib, and the one who carried from Ali is Ubayd al-Salmani, and the one who carried from Ubayd al-Salmani, Ibn Sirin رحمه الله ورضي الله عن علي والصحابة أجمعين. What did he say? He said, كان هراك رجلا من بني إسرائيل. A man from the children of Israel. A man. كان عقيما ليس عنده ولد. He never have any children. He married, but he never have any children. وكان له مال. وماتت امرأته. And his wife, she passed away, and he has no relative except his nephew. He has only his nephew, and he left property and assets, and his wife, she passed away. He has no relative, and he never have any children, but he has what? مال. He has wills. So what happened is, in this story, فقتله ابن أخيه. His nephew, he waited until the night time. He went to his uncle's house and he killed him. He killed his uncle. And remember, this nephew he deserved to have what? To have what? So he rushed the case. I'm gonna wait for this man. Maybe I die before him. Let me go and finish the case. Boom. He killed him in order to get what? Inheritance. So he went and killed him, and after he killed him, he carried him and he dumped him or dropped him in one of the house of the children of Israel. He chose a house and he dropped his uncle on the front of this house to make the people believe this is the owner who killed this man, right? Because if we call in somebody, we found somebody dead today in the front of any one of the house, the person who's gonna call the cops, the cops will investigate it with who? With the owner of this house. Right? So what did he do? He killed him and he went to his house secretly and he slept like nothing happened. Nobody saw him. And what did he do?
the man, the owner of this house, in the morning, he opened the house, he found somebody dead, and this man, known among the children of Israel, that he is rich, but they found him what? Killed. They make like everybody start from the children of Israel, they start to fight each other. You are the one to kill him, not me. You are the one. He seems so and so. But his nephew, where is his nephew in this case? He cry a lot. My uncle, this is my only uncle. And they saw, subhanAllah, they said, you know, sometimes he killed somebody and he walk in his funeral crying. To let the people believe what? That he missed him, subhanAllah. And he's the one, he killed him. You never know. Now, they fighting each other to know where is the killer, who killed him. So people from Bani Israel, those who are wise, scholar from Bani Israel, I said, how come we fight each other? And Nabiullah Musa amongst us, Nabiullah Musa alayhi salam, ala nabiyyin afdal salatu wa salam, he is amongst us, still alive. Why we fighting? Let's we go Musa, to go to Musa, and we ask him to ask his Lord who killed the man, because Musa spoke with Allah directly, right or not? Naam. They went to Prophet Musa alayhi salam and they told him, ya Nabi Allah, somebody has been, we find this dead body, we find it in the front of the house, and they named this person, and nobody has nobody except his nephew, and his nephew, he killed himself from crying. He's sitting there in his house and he's crying, he killed himself from crying because he missed his uncle. Nabiullah Musa, and all of you know this story from Surah Al-Baqarah, he told them, who killed him, ya Musa? Ask your Lord. أَوْحَى اللَّهُ إِلَى مُوسَى, Allah revealed it to the Musa to tell the children of Israel, when they ask who killed him, قَالَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تَذْبَحُوا بَقَرَةً. Allah command you, huh, to slaughter what? A cow. The question is, doesn't match his answer. People run to Musa alayhi salam, ya Musa, who killed the man? Musa answer, Allah command you to slaughter a cow. It's not about you, the answer at all, subhanAllah. Ubayd al-Salmani is the one who narrated this hadith from Ali radiallahu anhum ajma'in. He said, if the people, they follow the command of Allah and they follow the command of Musa to go and find any cow in the street and they slaughter it, the case will be finished. But what they did, فَشَدَّدُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ, they became extremely in their question and they ask more and more. Nabiullah, you know the story. If they go and they find any cow in a street and they slaughter it, the case will be finished, because Allah told them, Allah command you to slaughter a cow. Any cow, go ahead. But they ask Musa, what looks like? What is the color? Healthy or weak? How is actually so and so? How it looks like? Every time they ask, they make it difficult for their own self. Because every time they ask, Allah send the Quran to make it difficult for them to find this cave, to find this cow. That we learn from Surah Al-Baqarah. And also we have the same thing in the Muslim today. Sometimes the Muslim became very, very extreme. Became like very extremist. The Muslim. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he stood in Al-Hajj. In Al-Hajj Al-Akbar. قَالَ أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ فَرَضَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْحَجَّ فَحُجُّوا إِلَى بَيْتِ اللَّهِ. The Prophet stood in the middle of the people. Oh people, oh mankind, Allah command you to perform al-hajj. Go and perform the hajj for Allah, the house of Allah. A man stood up. قال يا رسول الله أكل عام. Is that every year? Look at this. The Prophet told them what? Allah command you to perform what? Al-hajj. That's it. So then the man stood up. Ask him in the middle of the people. The Prophet were with him 1400 companions. He told them, Ya Rasulullah, is that every year? So the Prophet, he turned his face to the other side and he did not answer him. The man again, second. Ya Rasulullah, is that every year? The Prophet, he turned his face to the other side and he did not answer him. For the third time, the man insists, Ya Rasulullah, is that every year to perform al-Hajj? Then the Prophet, he found the person what? He's greedy in his questions. He asked too much. فَغَضِبَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. The Prophet, he got angry from the man. قَالَ ذَرُونِي مَا تَرَكْتُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ فَقَدْ أَهْلَكَ مَنْ قَبْلَكُمْ كَثْرَةُ مَسَائِلِهِمْ وَاخْتِلَافِهِمْ عَلَى أَنْبِيَائِهِمْ. The Hadith in Bukhari. What did he say? Leave me alone at the end of my words, at the end of my sentence. Don't ask me more, because Allah destroyed and he banished those who were before you. It's mean the Christian and Jew. Because what? They ask too much. And they complain against their prophets. And they dispute with their prophets. So the Prophet, he told you, go, Allah command you to perform al-Hajj, that's it. Shut up. Go and perform one only time Hajj, that's Hajj, and the Hajj is finished. Don't ask more. Because could you imagine the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told him, instead, he turned his face to the other side and he kept silent. If the Prophet, he told him, yes, what's going to happen today? Yeah, Sheikh Saeed, what's going to happen to us today? The Hajj became farther like fasting every year. Ramadan, we fast every year. Could you imagine if the Prophet, he answered the man and he told him yes? So the Hajj will be farther every what? Every year. We're going to be in a big problem. Subhanallah. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, from His mercy, to make it one time. Al Hajjatul Islam, only one. And if you go and increase Hajj and you make it 100 Hajj, all of this nafila, it's good also, it's not bad. But Allah command you to perform the Hajj. And if you have the wealth and money in your buckets and you save it and you don't want to go to perform al Hajj, you will be guilty. Like somebody, we told him, come and pray Salat Isha, say, oh, no, I'm not going to pray Isha. He will be guilty or not guilty? Yes. If somebody reject al Hajj and he doesn't go, or he save, he became stingy, he doesn't perform al-Hajj, and he has the money, with the condition of al-Hajj, Hajjul Bayt liman istata' ilayhi sabil, for those who are able financially. You have it, it became fard like Salat al-Zuhr, like Salat al-Asr, like wudu, like fasting, it became fard. But if you keep it, you know, I'm still young, man. Let me enjoy my life. Because if I perform the Hajj, I want to perform the final Hajj. I'm never going to make mistake. Subhanallah. So when you're going to make Hajj? When I became like with the white hair, all the man closer to the grave. If you have the money you will be obligated to go and perform the Hajj. You have no excuse. It's like the Salah. Can you say, no, I'm not going to pray Salat al-Zuhr? You cannot do it. It's the same thing. So people, they make it difficult for themselves. Today, in Al-Hajj, because we speak about Hajj, the Prophet ﷺ, he stood up also in the same Hajj. قَالَ فَإِلْقُطُ حَبَّ الْخَزَى. When you pick up for rajm, the stone, pick up the stone which is exact the size of the chickpeas. But today, among the Muslim, I'm gonna break the shaitan today and he's gonna take the whole rock and he carried. I'm gonna kick him in his head. Subhanallah, Akhi. That's what you're doing, my brother. And we have a lot of violation. By shoe, Allah. Wallahi, by shoe. I saw in front of me, they take the shoe out and they stone. Yeah, son of a. And they shoot him and they curse him. Subhanallah, with F curse and they take the shoe. Somebody has an umbrella and he shoot it. And what happened after that? Could you imagine? You are in the back and you don't have a chance, and the first line around the hole and the second line, those people, they have to go to the hospital. They have to go to the hospital. You have to buy to be shaheed for the stones. It's subhanallah, because everybody has idea. Here is the column. When I see the people do like this, right and left, and where is the column? Oh, this son, this is a shaitan, that son. Subhanallah. What are you doing, ya akhi? Arhamuk Allah. Wallahi, we have jahiliya. Ya akhi, wallahi, in only to throw it in the hole. You are not commanded to shoot it against actually this column, which you call it shaitan. But the people were having is, and they don't listen. They go and they take a jambu, stones or rock, and your brother and sister in the front, they have to take them to the ambulance after that. Subhanallah. So this is extremely the same thing. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told you, if you, even if you have the water and you wipe, you take a spring water and you go over your socks or over your khuf, this is will be valid wudu. I told you many times. Today, until today, brother are very extremists. What they do, I saw them even in there in the masjid. When he has a socks, he take it off and he wash his feet. Allah knows about his niyyah. If his feet produce a bad smelling, yes, he's good, he's right. But if he doesn't believe wiping over the sock, that's a different issue. He will be guilty in front of Allah. Because the Prophet ﷺ make permission for those who are resident allowed to go for how many times? 5 salah. For those who are traveler, to wipe over the socks and the khuf for 3 days and day and night. It's mean about 15 salah. This is the sunnah of your messenger. But people, they make themselves be better in thinking, because the problem, we learn our Islam from where? From the local imam, from the grandmother, from so and so. La, you learn the Islam from the Sharia, from the Sharia. Subhanallah. So the people became also extremists in this issue. Salat al-Jum'ah, people waiting for a long line, and the brother also waiting with them. What you need, my brother? Where are you going? I'm going for istinja. Istinja. What's istinja, my brother? I'm going to clean my private parts because gas came out from me and I have to go and clean my private parts. Who told you to do that? Ya akhi, behind you, there is a brother, he has a diarrhea. He eats spicy food from around the corner and he has a diarrhea. He needs to go badly to the bathroom, but the brother is staying in front of him. Ten brother, they need to go and wash themselves because there is a gas came from them, dry gas. So who told you that? Said istinja. Ya akhi, take it easy, ya akhi. Subhanallah, ya akhi. You're gonna break your arm, you're gonna break your ribs. Take it easy, brother. So they don't know, they became extremists without any sunnah, without, but they follow what? Their own desire. They believe this is good for me, I will do it. Isn't the Islam is not like that. You are the son of Islam, you must follow. You are not better than the Sahaba. You are not better than Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he wipe over the khuf. Abu Bakr wa Umar wa Ali, they wipe over the socks. So who are you to reject it? But he has to take, here is the water. If the water is there, it became obligation to wash. La. Do you have idea when they ask the ulama, which one, if the water in the front of me, or I have my socks, or they said, no, wipe over your socks. Inna Allah yuhibbu an tu'khada rukhasu. Here is a dalil. Allah loves those who take the permits. Permits. Traveling for rak'ah or two? No. If it's fighting, I went to the brothers. Some people like to pray for rak'ah, some people pray two rak'ah. And the four rak'ah, I said, you know, nothing wrong. If we make it four, we'll be better. We make sure that Allah accepts. Allah. Allah wants you to make two, not four. Do you believe about this? Yes. Allah loves those who what? Who use his permit, his rukhsa, permission. Don't be extremist. Don't make follow your own desire. La, this is not working. So we have to understand the Islam in a better way. And we have to follow the Sharia, and because the Sharia are very commanded, inshaAllah ta'ala. طيب. Continue the story. Prophet Musa, after he told them, alayhi salam, ala nabiyyina afdal salatu wassalam, go and slaughter a cow.
And after a couple of steps, they make it difficult for them, and Allah send the more difficult, specific. Now they make it difficult, Allah make it difficult for them to go and look for a special cow. Specific cow. Is not old, is not young. So how are you gonna know about this? Is not old. The cow, Allah answered them, is not old, is not. So how would I know? Subhanallah, all the cow in front of me the same. So what is the cow? Yellow. What is the kind? Inna safra. Yellow, sharp. No sign at all. You may find every single cow. There is a mark in the leg, in the iso. Allah told them, no mark at all. So you have to go all over until they found the cow in a house of one of the children, one man from children of Israel. And then they told, here is the cow. We're going to buy it from you. He said, you know, it's very expensive. So what? How much you need? I said, you know, we have to take this cow, the skin, for the whole cow, and you put it in a scale, and equal to this scale of weight, you give me gold. A lot of gold they pay, and they have no choice. They look, they make a negotiation with them. Come on, we are so. I said, it's gold, and in the end they pay him. They took the cow and they, alhamdulillah, we found it here. فَزَبَحُوهَا وَمَا كَادُوا يَفْعَلُونَ. They slaughtered it and they have no intention to do that because they still believe that Musa, he make fun of them. قَالُوا أَتَتَّخِذُونَ هِزْوَا. After Prophet Musa commanded them to slaughter a cow, they answer him, are you make fun of us? He said, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ أَنْ أَكُونَ مِنَ الْجَاهِلِينَ. I seek refuge with Allah to be amongst al-jahileen, or the oppressor, or those who are ignorant. Now, they slaughter it. فَقُلْنَا ضْرِبُوهُ بِبَعْضِهَا. Take part of the cow and strike over the dead. They bring the dead body and take part of it and strike over the dead body. Then after they did that, the man, Allah give him the life again. He became alive again. And he sat down and he said, they ask him, who killed you? Who killed you? He said, this man, my nephew. And then he died. Subhanallah. This miracle came from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. And the whole story to show that you must follow the command of your messenger. Don't argue. Don't dispute. قَالُوا سَمِعْنَا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير. The Prophet ﷺ, he knows better than you which way is right for you. Don't tell me, ya akhi, I'm strong. Ya akhi, don't sit with any woman in a private bar, in a private place, in the private room. He said, I know myself, ya akhi, she's like my sister. لا والله, the messenger knows about you more than yourself. Because if you will be in privacy with any woman, even if you teach her the Quran, even if you teach her the Islam, you are not allowed to sit with any woman, or the woman to permit herself to sit with any man in privacy, and nobody, no third party, because the third one will be who? You cannot. Who knows about this formula? Ya akhi, I love one of the Sahaba. One of the companions, he was very honest. He said, I don't guarantee myself to be with a woman in privacy, even if this woman, she became the most ugly woman in the whole entire world. I don't guarantee myself to be with her. And who's this? Companion, not you and me. Those people who are chosen. You know, because the shaitan is going to come and play with you every possible game. When you look to the, oh, her face, she looks ugly, and yet I don't want to see her. But turn as a woman and let her walk. The shaitan will jump from the top. He will jump to where? To the bottom. Masha Allah, Allahu Akbar. Right or not? Because something different. Something different. And subhanallah, he said, okay, let me cover her face and deal with the rest. It's not gonna work, Sheikh Saeed. It's not gonna work. He will catch you in anywhere. Ask Allah to protect all of us and all the Muslims, inshallah. You understand? Because Allah originally created the woman in perfect way. even if her face is not acceptable to you, but Allah, He made her body what? Perfect. Excellent. You understand? You're going to deal with it. Just to take a piece of lemon and deal with the rest. Subhanallah. It's not going to work like this. So then tell me, you know yourself. So you have to follow the messenger for every single thing he gave it to you. Take it. No, don't argue. Don't bargain. No disputes. You have to listen and obey, inshallah. Now, so since that time, what Prophet Musa did after they found the murder, the Prophet Musa alayhi salam, from Allah, his command, he said, anyone who kill his father or anyone who has property and assets in relative, and he should take portion from him or her, he will be excluded, he will be prevented to take any portion if he killed anybody. And since that time of Musa, the law extended to Islam, and anyone who killed his father or mother, grandfather, his uncle purposely, he will be excluded from what? The inheritance. This is the law if he killed him purposely. That is the first kind, inshallah ta'ala. So this is the story. We take it from Prophet Musa alayhi salam and extend it to Islam, inshallah ta'ala. Come to the second kind of killing with error. Somebody kill somebody with error. He doesn't have intention to kill him. So what did he do? For example, somebody is a mashallah super, very look like a cow. While he walking in the street, he fell down on somebody skinny, and he has no intention. He fell down, and when he fell down, so what happened after that? Huh? He killed the other person. He did not have intention to kill him. Our question is: anybody kill by mistake and error, does he have any portion from the inheritance from his, the one who killed? For example, somebody married a woman, and his wife, she has property. If she die, he has right originally, normal, and nothing happened. If she die and she left the property and assets, her husband has right to get inheritance from his wife or not? Yes, right? Yes, right. For example, somebody, what did he do? He took like a rock or anything next to him, and because his wife, she bothered him, she complained a lot, she drove him cry, because the woman, if the woman she bland, she can make you jump up and down. You know that. Inna kaydahunna azim. Their plan are very great. They have power to make the man jump up and down and go even knock his head in the wall. How many people are like this? Because the woman is always, she has the best plan. Of course, Sheikh Saeed, we don't talk about our sister in Masjid al-Taqwa. They are wise. They are perfect. They are listening to the husband. They obey their husband. We don't talk about this sister at all. They are excluded. We're talking about the sister in the streets. Now, so what happened is, so for example, somebody, because she bothered him a lot, he took something. You don't listen. You answer me. Boom. And he shoot her by shoe. And after he shoot her by shoe, she died. He killed her. Does he has any intention to kill her? But he has intention to what? To punish? To punish her. But he has no intention to kill her alone. If this has happened in the time of the Sahaba, yes. Listen for this. It happened with me. Ali ibn Abi Talib, radiallahu anhu. He has two wives. We don't talk about Fatima. Another two wives. In the time of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they fight it together, these two women. And one of them, she became like a transgressor. Ali radiallahu anhu arda, he found this woman, she is a wrongdoer. She is wrong. So what did he do, Ali radiallahu anhu arda? He took something behind him. It's not written in the hadith. It is not written as Al-Imam al-Tabari, Wal-Imam ibn Jarir,
in the authentic also hadith, Ali radiallahu anhu arda, he took something next to him and he shoot it against the woman, or he throw the woman. And when actually he did that, the woman dead. She died. Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu arda, when he saw his wife, she has been killed by error, by mistake, not purposely. He ran to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Qala ya Rasulullah, I killed my wife with mistake and error. Faqala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, i'qilha wa laysa laka minha irth. The hadith, i'qilha wa laysa laka minha irth. What does that mean? Pay her diyya, the compensation penalty, pay it to her family members, and if the woman she has any property and assets, you have no right to take anything from her property and her assets are hers. But if this woman she has children, her children will face two things to get it from the mother. Number one, the diya, the compensation penalty which come from the father. Is the children allowed to take portion from this diya? It mean the compensation penalty. Anybody kill in Islam with error, he has to pay what? Diya. Anybody doesn't know what diya is? Anybody doesn't know what diya? Diya is a compensation money. You pay it to the family or the murdered one. The family, not to the children. Look at this. Other way, everybody need to get rid of his wife and he has children from her. Let me kill her. And if any money I pay to her, it will come to my children again and they will get everything again. The compensation penalty should pay to who? The family of the woman. If the woman, she has no family, what we should do? Give it to Bayt al-Mal, the house of treasury. She has children. They are allowed to take any money from the diyya. The children only take from the mother. If the mother has been killed or die, the children got what? Her money, her property, her assets. But they are not allowed to get from the diyya, the compensation penalty, to pay for the family members of the murdered one, to the father, mother, brothers, sisters, those who has right to take the family, closer family members of this woman or this man who has been killed. Right. So we learn that the Prophet advised Ali to do what? To pay the diyya for the family members of his wife, the one who killed her by mistake, by error. Then after that, the Prophet cleared it, and la irtha lak, he told him and he showed him clear. If your wife, you killed her by mistake, by error, if she has any property or money or bank accounted, you are excluded to get in your portion for yourself. You got it or not got it? Wake up with me, because this stuff is a complicated. Most of us, we doesn't have idea about it, inshallah ta'ala. So this hadith is narrated in al-Imam al-Tabarani wal-Imam al-Bayhaqi bi-sanadin sahih. And also, there is another hadith narrated by al-Imam al-Bayhaqi, one of the companions in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He took a rock to kill one of the wild animal, but instead he killed the wild animal, the rock or the stone, the big stone, came on his mother and he killed his mother. He killed his mother by what? By accident, by mistake. He doesn't have niyyah. So he ran to Ali. That is in the time also of Ali radiallahu anhu arda. He ran to Ali. He told him, ya Ali, I killed my mother by mistake.
and he explained to him the story. What Ali said, رضي الله عنه وارضاه, Ali told him, إنما حظك من إرثها الحجر. إنما حظك من إرثها الحجر. ولا إرث لك. He told him, your portion from her property, from her inheritance, equal to the stone. It's mean what? What did you understand? Yeah? What did you understand? Zero. You understand? And wala irtha lak, he repeated and explained it in detail, and you have no inheritance from your mother. He killed his mother. So from this meaning also, we figure it and we understand that either you kill purposely or you kill by mistakes or error or accident, you have no portion in the inheritance at all. You have no portion. Who agree about this? Al-Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah, wal-Imam al-Shafi'i, wal-Imam Ahmad. Al-Imam Malik, he had a different opinion. He said, no, he has a portion from this inheritance. If you kill somebody by earth, he said, what your evidence, ya Imam? He said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, رُفِعَ عَنْ أُمَّتِي الْخَطَأ وَالسَّهْوَ وَالنِّسْيَانِ وَمَا اسْتُكْرِهُ عَلَيْهِ. He bring one of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu, authentic hadith. He said, my ummah will never be charged for al-khata, error, like accident here, error. Was-sahw, as you make sahw in your salah, instead you sit down in the four rak'ah, middle you stand up, and then after that, how you correct your salah, you make what in the end of the salah? Sahw. You are not blamed for the sahw. You have no intention to do that, but you forgot. You forgot in the salah. You forgot and you eat before the azan in the Ramadan. You are not penalty. What we advise him, can you go and complete your food 1 hour or 2 hours before the azan in Ramadan, or you continue fasting? Continue fasting, because you forgot. Right? Al-khata was-sah. One nisyan, you forgot completely. Somebody prays the Asr 3 rak'ah and he left. He are sure that he prayed 3 rak'ah. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, how are we going to deal with him? His salah will be accepted or not accepted? Accepted. Because you don't have, you forgot completely. But if you remember later, subhanallah, I make 3 rak'ah, what you should do? You start from the beginning, or you make only 1 rak'ah? One rak'ah only. And while you correct it, you should make it extra rak'ah, and you owe Allah 2 sajda, huh? Sahw in the end, inshaAllah ta'ala. That is the complete. But if you forgot completely, you forgot, subhanallah, وَمَا اسْتُكْرِهُ عَلَيْهِ, and whatever they have been forced for. Somebody doesn't fast Ramadan. He doesn't like to fast Ramadan. But his wife, she's righteous woman. And he told her, listen, I am your husband. You must eat with me today, because I have vacation today and I need you enjoyed my life today. The kids are in a school. And then after that, sister Fatima, she told him what? No, it's haram today, Ramadan. He told her, I am ordering you, I am your husband, and Allah command you to follow me and obey me. To follow you and obey you, not in the deen. Astaghfirullah al-Azim. But you're taking in general, not in the deen, ya akhi. To follow you, yes, he told her, go and bring me glass of water, yes. Yes, something related to the life. Go iron my shirt, yes. You can. Don't tell him, I'm not a slave for you, we are equal. We are in America, go back to your country. No. Do it, because you will be rewarded from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Now, so the wife refused to drink. He took a cup of water or orange juice, and he went to his wife, and he used his muscles. Alright? Again, he's outside, looks like a chicken, but he became like a lion in the house, tiger in the house, because a woman. You understand? Subhanallah. He took the mouth of the woman and he drank it here,
the cup of water or orange juice. The whole cup. What is this woman should do? Yeah? To continue or to complete? Continue. Because you cannot. The man, he need his wife in the day of the month of Ramadan. Day of the month of Ramadan. And he need her. Because he's off and he doesn't fast that day. Can the woman, she obey him? La. But how about if the woman, because we open the fiqh also, how about if the woman, she fasts for Nafila, Monday and Thursday, and the husband that day, he take a vacation from the work and he stay home, and all the kids are in the school, and the man, he like to make his day exciting. So what happened after that? Come ya Fatima, astaghfirullah, I am fasting. No, Fatima, she told him, yes, my husband. And she ran to the kitchen and drink and obey her husband, inshallah. You get it? Inshallah ta'ala, because what? This fasting is what? Nafila, contribution. You understand? And for your information, there is no any woman to fast any nafila unless she take approval from who? Because if the husband insists, and it's come the idea in his mind, I need my wife that day, in the morning, in the Zuhr time. So she has no what? She has no option. She has. قال صلى الله عليه وسلم من دعا امرأته فلتلبي ولو كانت على قطب جمل. If any man calling his wife to meet her, and she must obey him even if she is in the top of the camel. What does that mean? Even if she's in a car and traveling. I'm going to my mother in Pennsylvania. The man, he told her, listen, I'm here in a house, I need your baby. So the mother, she will what? Postpone it to see her mother, and she go and answer who? The poor man, he's boiling inside the house, and to satisfy him. Right or not? That is the fiqh, inshallah ta'ala. Just like to make it easy for you, inshallah ta'ala. So this is inshallah ta'ala. We will stop in this and need not to make it too much for you, because we figured that al-qatil, the one who killed purposely or by error, does he have any portion from the inheritance? Huh? No. He cannot have, he will be excluded. Child, he killed his father. Father, he killed his son. Son, he has a lot of property. Father will be excluded, are all. And the diya, even from the diya, the children cannot have any portion, but it will be distributed to the family member of his wife. Or if the husband has been killed, it will be automatically go to his brother and sister, and the children will be excluded only to get inheritance from their father, from his money, from his property, from his assets only. Allah tabaraka ta'ala a'lam, inshallah. I will leave the rest for you, because we have questions we need to answer, inshallah. Sister, last week she sent a question. I apologized for the sister in order to because I did not answer that question, and subhanallah, I forgot the paper. And the sister, inshallah ta'ala, she asked a question, and now you have some question. Yeah. Go ahead.
My sister, 3 days ago, husband passed away.
That's the way.
Yeah, I thought after husband passed away, woman before
4 months and 10 days.
Yeah, 10 days. But for her now, the family member fight with the husband. After 3 days, everybody left.
What a second here? You said the woman, she lost her husband.
Yeah.
And then after that, the woman, she should stay four months and 10 days, as Allah, he told us in the Quran.
Yeah, yeah.
How come she fight with the husband? He has died.
No, I say the husband family member before he passed away.
Okay.
When he passed away now, after 3 days, everybody left. Nobody with my sister now, husband home. What are we going to do now? We don't have anybody.
Okay. طيب جزاك الله خير إن شاء الله. So for the question for the sisters, the brother he said he's brother-in-law, right?
Yeah.
Brother-in-law he passed away. Right? And then after that he left his husband, his wife behind. That his sister of the brother here who asked the question. And as we know in Islam, that the Islam commands a woman to stay 4 months and 10 days. What is the 4 months and 10 days? We need to explain it to what you should do. What you should do. Allah said, exact the condolences for the woman to stay 4 months and 10 days. This is ayah, nas, no ijtihad. It's fixed from Allah tabaraka ta'ala. What does that mean? To stay 4 months and 10 days, what does that mean? What did you understand in here from this ayah first? Before we answer this question.
Maybe malignant.
Yeah.
If the woman is not pregnant.
No, I'm talking, we know that the woman for 4 months and 10 days, yes, to find out she's. But what she should do? What is that 4 months means and 10 days for this sister whom she lost her husband? Is not number two, she's not allowed to be engaged. She's not allowed to have any direct relation, because we have in our community, when we found that the sister, her husband passed away, you're gonna fight a lot of tiger. They wanna go to the sister and they need to wait to what? To marry her. She's not allowed to go and speak or to have any speech between her and anyone from the Muslim society or the Muslim community. Don't give him a chance or to be engaged or to go out with him or to speak on the phone with him. He may tell her, not now sister, I know 4 months and 10 days, but after 4 months and 11 days I'm gonna come to your house to engage you. She's not allowed to make any agreements at all with anyone. Number two, 4 months and 10 days originally in the Quran, in the Sunnah, meaning the woman not allowed to leave her house unless for emergency or need. Emergency need. She doesn't have anybody to serve her from her direct family members. She doesn't have. She's a woman, we permitted her only to go to the market, the supermarket, to buy her what? Her food. That's a permission for her. But to go to the masjid, no, don't come to the masjid at all. You are not allowed to leave your house. But we may find today a sister, she working. For example, they said don't ask him about that, because she violates the rule. She violates the sunnah, because the woman, after she lost her husband, she should be completely 4 months and 10 days, doesn't have any, disconnected, not allowed for the woman to wear any clothes with color, with anything to excite the other men in the streets. Not allowed to put even the eye lining. You know the woman that love to put eye line? Not allowed for her. Not allowed for the woman to put any perfume. Not allowed for the woman to put any makeup. She should stay completely 4 months and 10 days. Come back to your question. Family, we know, for the woman, for your sister, she must stay 4 months and 10 days. But for other relative, for the husband, the condolences only for what? 3 days. لا عزاء إلا في ثلاث. قال صلى الله عليه وسلم, there is no any condolences except in 3 days. So you don't extend it for week, every Thursday, every 40 days, every month, annual, nothing. All of this is bid'ah. So the only family member to make ceremony to accept the people to come and give their sympathies for only 3 days. Only 3 days, not more than the 3 days. Whoever gonna violate this rule, it will be bid'ah. Not allowed for anyone to violate this rule. So if you said his family member, they came only 3 days and they left, they did their job, ya akhi.
We are talking about, because the husband, you know, was Muslim before. somebody passed away, if you have another family member, no one has stayed the home.
Wait a second. The sister whom she sent the question for me, subhanAllah, please send only one word to remind me what's your question, inshallah, I will answer you. If you hear me, inshallah ta'ala. Send the question, inshallah, and I will answer for you, because subhanAllah, I always remember in the beginning when I try to answer her, I will remember the question. After the brother asked me, alright, are they gonna wait for me around the corner and don't ask? You understand? What they gonna do for me? Jazakallah khair. So send the question again, inshallah ta'ala, to answer you.
Nobody now to support my sister. What I'm saying now, my brother called me saying, my sister, you can come to our house, who you can see the husband's house, they don't have anything. Nobody support her.
Why nobody spoke to her?
Support her.
Yeah. She's a loyal. Subhanallah. And you didn't, your brother-in-law did not leave anything for her.
No.
Subhanallah. They are guilty. They should support the woman, her family members, or his brother or sister or anyone from his side of his family member too. Must somebody have supported this sister?
Before, if the husband passed away, myself, I support the husband and my sister. Now husband died, the family member, nobody wanted to do anything. Nobody. My brother called me, he said, okay, you wanna try to bring my sister my house.
This is a great reward, Allah.
Ask me, they check first, they find out what is possible. Because they're supposed to stay at the husband's house for 4 months and 10 days, but they don't have any.
لا إله إلا الله. قال صلى الله عليه وسلم الساعي على الأرملة. The one who support the widow after she lost her husband, فهو في الجنة. He will be in the paradise. كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. So this is from the great reward in Islam, that somebody to support the widow. So somebody has to actually advise them to support and not to leave her like this. Doesn't mean they have to spend the 3 days and they ran and they leave the woman actually for the animal to attack her. لا يا أخي. It's not working like this. So anybody actually like this will be guilty for that, of course. Especially his family member. His family member, because they consider if he passed away and he left nothing for her, somebody from his family member should take a blade, should take support her for a while until the woman she finds sources or somebody else marry her. Inshallah ta'ala. May Allah provide her, inshallah. من الذي يأخذها يا شيخ إبراهيم؟ الأخ أخوها. نعم. نعم. If nobody from his family member support her in her house, and the woman she had no support, her brother and sister will automatically take over. They could date their sisters, and she stay with them in the house. Yes. Absolutely, yes. جزاك الله خير يا شيخ ابراهيم. بارك الله فيك. نعم.
One brother,
father passed away and left one son and four daughters. Okay.
Son is not taking care of the family. So daughters, they didn't go to school, so they are working to take care of the family. Now they have the property.
ذكروا حمثلوا حظ الأنسيين. The male will take twice than the female in the property which is lifted by the father.
The son, he is not supporting his mom, or he is not taking care of his sisters. They are working, they couldn't go to school because they have to support, pay the mortgage and this and that.
Okay.
Now, is he still allowed to get twice, or is there any exception in the rule?
Now, the same rule doesn't change it.
But did he, Azan?
I don't hear the azan yet, ya. They should call the azan now. They always make it for us like this. I didn't hear it yet. 5 minutes past? What time, ya? Somebody go and make azan, inshallah ta'ala. Jazakallah khair, ya. Barakallah feek. The same rule, even if the brothers go and support them, that will be from him, voluntarily from him, to support his sisters in the same house, to pay the mortgage and so on and so. But when they distribute...
But while his dad was alive, he moved out from the house with his wife.
And what happened?
Nothing, he's living by with his wife.
He's living and he left. Where is the property?
Under his dad's name and...
Wait for the azan, inshallah. Go for the azan, inshallah.
Allah!
الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Yes, يا أخي إن شاء الله تعالى. If the brother they take over and they support and they pay all the expenses, that's from Islam, because if he have sisters and they have no income, they have nobody to support, and they took over after his father, it will be obligation over the brother to take over and support. He cannot leave and he take his wife and leave. This is matter of problem. I have no issue with this. My issue is, if this property will be sold one day, the male will take twice than the female. That's what Allah ta'ala alam. There's a question from the sister from the last week. The sister, she said in the question, what is the dalil on making up Ramadan fast last year if he were pregnant? As you know, brother and sister in Islam, if we have any sister and she is pregnant during the month of Ramadan, first of all, we need to remember that she is obligated to fast. There is no excuse unless a Muslim doctor prescribed that if she fasts the month of Ramadan, it will be danger for the baby. Some of the women are strong, some of the women are weak. So some of the women, a lot of sisters, when they have the month of Ramadan, they fast. Alhamdulillah. But it's up to the woman. But if the doctor, he advised this woman, because she's pregnant, to eat and not to fast because she may receive any dangers for the baby or something like this, she must eat. And if she eats, the Islam deal with the pregnant woman or the woman whom she feed breasts. Islam deal with them as they are like sick. They deal with them are like they are sick. they must repeat it these days before the second Ramadan. They must repeat it before the second Ramadan. And if they repeat it these days, they don't have any penalty. The only thing to do what? To repeat that days. قال تعالى فمن كان منكم مريضا أو على سفر فعدة من أيام أخرى. That's it. Whoever or amongst you, anyone who is sick or ill during the month of Ramadan, you is permission for you to eat, but remember, عدة من أيام أخرى. So you have to repeat these days before the second Ramadan. So the same thing with the sister whom she is pregnant, and she ate in the month of Ramadan. She found herself she's dizzy. She found herself she's weak. She cannot fast. So and so, the Sharia gave her permission to go and eat with the option of some ulama. I said he must fast, but the Islam is always is dealing mercy with deal with the people with full mercy and compassion. But if the sister, she gonna eat in the month of Ramadan because of her pregnancy, she must repeat these days before the second Ramadan. What about if she cannot do it in the second Ramadan? She still owe Allah to repeat these days. She still owe Allah to repeat these days. And the Islam will give her more penalty. She has to feed because the second Ramadan came and she did not pay back yet. And she couldn't repeat these days before the second Ramadan. So the Sharia command her still to continue to fast these days. But if the Ramadan, second Ramadan came, she has to feed. When she fasts these days, she has to feed one boor or one indigent for every single day she missed. So the penalty became more. But if she repeated before the second Ramadan, there is no any penalty except to repeat. But if the second time of Ramadan came, so what we have to do? She must pay or feed for every day she lost it in the month of Ramadan, one indigent. Naam, Sheikh Ibrahim. هي فقط يا شيخ إبراهيم الإسلام يعطيها إذا خافت على ولدها فقط. أما الحمل الله عز وجل عندما أنزل الشريعة يعلم أن الناس قادرين على تطبيق الشريعة وعلى اتباع الشريعة، يعلم الرب سبحانه وتعالى. ولكن العلماء قالوا في ذلك الأمر أن المرأة لها الحق أن تفطر في رمضان إذا خافت على ولدها. فالإسلام دائما يحمي الأنفس ويضمن الحياة للآخرين. So the Sheikh Ibrahim told me about this. It actually the option for the woman to eat in the month of Ramadan, not to fast, if she fear about her baby. That is the only exception. But the woman, Allah, he knows, before he send the Sharia, Allah, he knows that everybody are able to do the Sharia, to follow the Sharia, to practice the Sharia. But if the woman, as the ulama said, she fear about her baby, she will have a permit to eat, and she has to repeat. She is not excluded only to pay for every, because some imam give fatwa for a sister if she's not able to fast the day in the month of Ramadan, number of the day or the whole month, she could go and feed for every single day and that's it. La, she must repeat it these days. And if she repeated before the month of Ramadan, second Ramadan, there's nothing over her extra more than that. But if the second Ramadan came and she did not fast these days which she lost it in the first Ramadan, she continue or she still owe Allah to fast these days, and then to pay for every single day, because she missed these days before the second Ramadan, she still to have to pay for every single day. She lost it one boor to feed him for iftar. Naam, shukr. نعم. جزاك الله خير. شيخ إبراهيم remind us about fatwa. I don't have about this. I don't have idea about this fatwa about some of the ulama in the Haram Sharif. You understand? They said she could feed and doesn't have anything. That's mean actually what? Remember, ya Sheikh, بعض علماء الحرم تفضل. طيب تفضل.
إذا كانت المرأة خافت نفسها وولدها إنها حامل خافت على صحتها وولدها وتقضي بدون الإطعام، ولكن إذا خافت على ولدها تقضي يعني الأيام عليها ثم بعد ذلك تطعم كل يوم مسكين.
طب ما هذا ما قلته يا شيخنا. هذا ما قلته. نعم. That's what I said, شيخ إبراهيم. But you add only إذا خافت على نفسها ولدها. شيخ إبراهيم give us if she fear about herself and the baby. For me actually to be honest with you, if she fear about her baby only or fear about herself, it's the same thing. Same thing if she fear about her baby, that means she has to repeat these days. She still, as I said, يا شيخ إبراهيم, لابد أن تعيد هذه الأيام. لا خلاف فيه. لابد أن تعيد هذه الأيام. She must repeat these days. And understand. If she, the second Ramadan will come, يا شيخ إبراهيم, that's what I say. She has to تقضي هذه الأيام وعليها أيضا قضاء. She must repeat these days and then after that she has to pay for every single day. نعم. يا شيخ إبراهيم هذا هو ما هو نفسه. هذا يا شيخ إبراهيم. شيخ إبراهيم just argue about that the ulama in the haram, they said if she fear about herself and her baby. I said if she fear about her baby, so that is not a big problem. But anyway, if she fear about the baby, she gonna eat, right? If she fear about her baby, the Sharia give him permission to eat. Same thing, ya Sheikh Ibrahim. Same thing, ya Sheikh Ibrahim, inshallah. And remember, ulama al-haram, most of the ulama al-haram, they follow the Hanbali school. For your information, when I'm teaching in these classes all the time, remember, ya Akhi, I'm teaching according to the majority of the ulama of the Muslim ummah and what is the result for it. You may find sometimes, for example, Al-Imam Rahimahullah Ibn Baz. Ibn Baz, Mufti. And when they ask him about somebody, he is lazy in the Salah. Lazy. Sometime he pray and sometime he doesn't pray. And they ask him, if we have somebody like that, he's lazy in the Salah, can he have some portion of inheritance from his father? He said no. He said no. لا يأخذ من أبيه إرثا طالما يقصر في صلاة أو طالما هو يقصر في بعض الصلوات. He said that, but that's his opinion. Islam is not like that. He is a Muslim. He has right to take portion of his inheritance according to majority of the ulama. فقه الأئمة الأربعة أئمة الثلاثة three أئمة majority of the ulama. They said he has right to take inheritance. But why the Imam, rahimahullah, he said he doesn't have portion? Because he consider him as a kafir. And you cannot make any Muslim kafir because he is lazy in his salah. You cannot. You only make the Muslim kafir when he rejected the five pillars of Islam. Do you believe in salah? La. Do you believe fasting? La, he has to clear it and witness for that. You cannot exclude him from the inheritance because he's still a Muslim, even if he's lazy. Somebody, for example, he go and they take his money and he spend it for here and there and enjoy it. Can I tell him not he excluded from the inheritance? La, because Imam Ibn Baz rahimahullah, he consider anyone who make salah based to the ayah فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ. Wow and punishment valley for those in Jahannam, for those who forget their salah or postpone their salah all the time, they will be punished. He consider them like kafir. لا يا أخي, majority of Islam وسطية. We using the balance of the Islam, the sweetness of Islam according to Islam العادل. Not to be extremist to one single sect, we must follow all the imam, inshallah. And if we need more detail, you're gonna contact with me, inshallah, ta'ala. Because the people, you see, lying here, they went to pray. The brother who went to pray, inshallah. Can we postpone it after the salah? Because your brother, inshallah, went, inshallah, ta'ala, to pray. Allahu taqabbal minna, waqbal minna, waj'alna sababan liman ihtada, warham amwatana wa amwat al-muslimin. اللهم لا تجعل فينا بيننا شقيا ولا محروما, واغفر لنا بالأعمال الصالحات أعمالنا, وتوفنا مسلمين, والحقنا بالصالحين غير خزايا ولا مفتونين, وارحمنا فأنت بنا راحم, ولا تعذبنا فأنت بي علينا قادر, ورؤب بنا يا أرحم الراحمين فيما بغى ربي المقادير. اللهم لا تعذبنا يا أرحم الراحمين, وادخلنا الجنة مع الأبرار.